Number one, the book of Acts, chapter number one. I really enjoyed the violin. I've enjoyed all the special music. Thank you, honey, and for singing, and I sure do appreciate my wife. I can honestly say that our ministry would not be what it is for my wife. If you were not in Sunday school, I'd just share with you how Karen and I met. Her daddy was pastoring up in Michigan. And I know that's a Big Ten terrible thing, amen? And but that's all right. You know, we forgive Michiganers, amen? And God gives us grace to help them. I'm in Badger land, and so I won't pick on the Badgers too much, amen? And but I was preaching up in Michigan. Her dad told me I had a single daughter. I kind of had that in the back of my mind. I showed up at that church. That was back in 1998, And so we met that first day. I didn't think a lot about it until Sunday when she came down that stairs. And I said, man, that gal's pretty, amen? And I said, I think she loves God, and I think she needs a date. And I can't think of a better man than Harold Pierce, amen? And so I started talking to her dad. And sure enough, we dated for 5 months, was engaged in December. And we got married in May, and sure enough, we finished raising our support the first time, and we spent the next 13 years overseas ministering. So the only thing my family and I is known working with the military and loving on soldiers and loving on their families. And we've put our whole life into this, and we count it a privilege to represent churches reaching our soldiers. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, there's some things that we can highlight in this chapter, some four things we just kind of like to highlight. Number one, Jesus was showing himself alive for 40 days by many infallible proofs. These are things that can not be denied. Now, you know, the Lord could have showed himself just one time, that would have been good enough for me. And you know, the Lord had grace. I'm glad we have a God that has so much grace. The Lord had grace. Do you remember when old Doubting Thomas came to him? He said, Lord, is it really you? The Lord did not rebuke him. The Lord showed himself to him more mightily. I'm glad in our doubts that God knows how to show himself mighty. Amen. You ever go through a struggle and you're trusting God, and God shows himself mighty in a great way? Well, that's what he did for Thomas that day. Then the second thing we see here, we see that he gave them to the command to be a witness. And he said, you know, the Lord never gives us something and commands us to do something that he cannot help us with. Amen. The Lord will never shoulder something on us that he cannot give us the strength to accomplish. And the Lord said, I want you to go out and be a witness. Really, remember, many of them saw, were eyewitness. They saw the death and the burial and the resurrection. He said, I want you to go out to your local communities. I want you to tell every man, woman, boy, and girl that which you have seen. But the Lord said this. He said, I'm going to help you do that. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the power. And that word power is dunamis, and it's derived from dunamai, to be a power. God said, if you trust me, I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you the ability to go out and tell every man, woman, boy, and girl. I'm glad we don't have to live this Christian life alone. And then the second thing, the third thing, we see the gathering of Christ with his followers. And he's going back to heaven. I like that verse over there in John chapter 14 where he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now listen, folks, we may not have much here, but thank God we got much there. Amen. A little as much when God is in it. But I'm glad for a home in heaven. I'm so thankful. I used to tell the military personnel, and I used to tell them, hey, listen, God has not got military housing in heaven. Amen. If a guy's retired, he's going to travel 6 to 7, 8 times throughout his career. And I used to tell the ladies that God is building a mansion. And they were so excited, because most of the time when they get out after the retirement. They want to settle down and find a nice, secure place to live where their furniture's not getting broken on the moves and they're unable to be in one spot. But folks, don't get settled here, because one day we're going to be in a final spot. Amen. We're going to be in heaven. Thank God for heaven. Don't let your heart be troubled. And then the fourth thing we see them, he leaves them continuing to build his church. We see over there in Matthew chapter number 16, over there when he was with his disciple, and he said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ was the founder of the church, and Jesus Christ with the disciples, and we see the empowerment here in the book of Acts, and the church was moving forward, and he said, I want you to start right here in Jerusalem, and I want you to tell every man, woman, boy, and girl that which you've seen. If I could have a couple volunteers, maybe some of the young people that would like to help me, I need my daughter, she'll help, maybe three more volunteers. I know when you're in the Army, you don't volunteer for nothing. Amen. I'll never forget. I was a private. Man, I went there and everybody told me, Harold, when you join, don't never volunteer. Come on up. I need a couple more. And I need one more. Who would like to help? Thank you, sweetheart. Come on. Oh, that's all right. We'll use all of you. Praise God. And I like young people. So I'll never forget, man. You never volunteer when you're in the military, man. I got there at that first duty station. I was at Fort Knox, Kentucky. If you ever been to Fort Knox, Kentucky, misery, agony, and heartbreak are them three hills. Man, I crawled. I crab walk up one of them. I got to share a story with you. We were in the chow hall, and the Marines were there. Amen. And we was watching the Marines march, and they kind of were lipping off to us. And we decided that we weren't going to let the Marines out march us. And so we got a little challenge. But all of a sudden, there was this big fight broke out here at Fort Knox, Kentucky. I'll never forget the Marines and I, their tankers and our, and then we were scrapping out there. And the drill sergeants decided, since we had so much energy, they took both of us out. They took the Marines on this side, and our drills took us on this side. And all of us were crab walking up the back of this hill. So we decided that we wasn't going to get in too many more fist fights with the Marines, amen. And I think the Marines decided they wasn't going to mess with us anymore. But Jesus said, hey, I want you to go here in Jerusalem, and I want you to tell every man, woman, boy, and girl that which you've seen and that which you have heard. If you'll stand right here, I want you to stay right here. Then he said, once you get done in Jerusalem, I want you to go in Judea, and I want you to tell every man, woman, boy, and girl, that which you've seen and that which you've heard. If you'll go into Judea, you'll come right here. He said, I want you to do the same thing that you did in Jerusalem. He said, when you get done in Judea, I want you to go into Samaria. Now, if you'll come into Samaria. Now, I want you to know, it was all right in these first two areas. If you'll go about halfway up the aisle. No, you stay here. You go about halfway up the aisle. There you go. He said, I want you to go down to Samaria. Now, remember, Samaria was a place they didn't want to go. Samaria was a place they would go around instead of going direct. But God says, hey, we need to take the gospel everywhere. And Jesus set that example. Remember when he met that woman at the well in John chapter 4, and she was thirsty. And Jesus said, I'll give you something to drink from everlasting. Amen. And Jesus said, hey, I want you to go where the gospel needs to go. And so it's important that we go wherever the gospel is going. So notice Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And notice in conjunction there, something was going on at the same time. There was the utmost. See, that's where if God called us and God wanted to go, we would go. But God does not necessarily call everybody there, because God calls people to work in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Now, if you'll go to the back, you'll be our missionary. Notice while the first three is going on, the utmost is going on. And how is that getting done? That's getting done as a result of us being involved in missions. I believe this, that everybody ought to be and would be and should be surrendered enough that if God was to call you, you'd be willing to go to the mission field. Amen. You would be surrendered enough to go. But here's the thing. God does not call everybody, because God needs people right here in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to support here so others can go and fulfill the work of Christ. See, this is how it works. How many are directly right around Oak Creek? Raise your hand. How many live a little bit further outside of Oak Creek? Raise your hand. Yeah, see how this is working? How many live a little further from the further? Raise your hand. Now we see how this, and this is how this was working in this time frame. But notice something else. The way that this verse is written, you can see Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other ones.
This is a progressive verse, progression. It's about moving forward. Folks, I'm here to tell you, as Jesus is the founder of the church, he continually moves the church forward. Amen? Don't get discouraged at what's going on. Jesus Christ is still moving his church forward. People are still being saved. People are still being baptized. Young people are still going into the ministry. Young people are still becoming godly businessmen. And ladies are still doing great things for God. Hey, God's work is still moving forward. That's a wonderful thing. Thank you, young people. You may be seated. I appreciate these young people. See, this is why we can reach the world for Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, now help us these next few minutes, I pray. Lord, use us to be an encouragement to your people as much as they've already been an encouragement to our family. Lord, be with our troops around the globe. Lord, be with those who are separated from family. Lord, I pray for those spouses whose loved one is downrange, and touch them. Provide guidance, provide safety in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter number 8. Mark, chapter number 8. In verse number 36, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" See, the scripture is making an emphasis about replacing the material over the spiritual. What if a man has everything in this life, but he don't have Jesus Christ? Where will he spend an eternity? In hell. But folks, I'd rather have nothing in this life and have Jesus. I have everything. Amen? He's all I need. He's all I need. To me, that is the value of missions. Why we can reach the world of Christ? Number one, that's the value of missions. Number one, it's priceless. You can put a price tag on a house, a boat, a car. But my friend, you couldn't put a price tag on the soul of a man, woman, boy, girl. I was looking at your magnificent VBS, amen? What a wonderful joy. Just a couple weeks back, we were able to help Northside, our home church where we're at in Texas. Thank God we had about 100 every night. And on Friday night, we had 50 parents of military children come out. And we were able to share the gospel with them. We was able to share what Northside offers for their family. But the greatest joy was Karen and I had the opportunity to lead 22 of some of them souls to the Lord during that week. See, I couldn't put a price tag on the soul of a man, woman, boy, and girl. And that's why we ought to do all that we can to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God we sponsored Pastor for $25, amen, to ride that bike, amen. And not that I want him to ride, amen, but we did sponsor him. And because we believe what Pastor and this ministry is doing and helping people who are making some just choices in their life. Thank God for what you're doing. We believe that it's the value of missions is priceless. Then I believe that it's priority. Oh, may we do all that we can. Do you remember when Jesus was down there with them lawyers? And I don't know how you can forget your son somewhere. It's not like they were a big missionary family. Amen. I could understand some missionary. I remember a missionary family was going through the gate and they left one of their kids back somewhere. And they had to go back and get their child. But Jesus was down there. Mary Joseph came back and here he was expounding the word of God, and he said, "I must be about my Father's business." Listen, I'm glad that God used someone in my life. God used someone in my family's life to make it priority. I was just 11-year-old boy, didn't even go to church, and sure enough, a family down the road invited me to come to that church, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior after a couple Sundays. The only reason I went because they had a basketball team, and I wanted to play basketball, and I figured I'd sit in the back, and if I didn't like the preaching, I'd just go change, and sure enough, one day, the preaching was going on, and the message got a hold of my heart, and I walked the aisle for the first time. My family was godless. We moved around, and I'll never forget, at the age of 13, a pastor and a bus captain knocked my door, and it was through the bus ministry, and I stayed faithful, even got a chance to go to Christian school my freshman year. I didn't even know who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, "Pastor, how come the same stories keep showing up in different parts of the Bible?" Amen. I said, "Man, that's got to be God if the same story can happen over and over." And I didn't know all these stories, and God began to use that work in my heart, and sure, lo and behold, behold, I watched my mom come to a service and she got saved during a revival service, and my dad was as hard as can be. I watched the Holy Spirit work on his heart. He walked forward and my dad got saved. I've seen my sister saved, and my sister just graduated to heaven just recently, and it was kind of unique. We were back there and my aunt began to share how when I preached at my dad's funeral, she got saved. My uncle said as a result of my uncle, who we witnessed to several years, he was saved, and my uncle got saved, and it's just been a joy to watch people get saved. I'll tell you, I'm glad that God has some priority. I'll never forget. We just make it priority. And, you know, I'll never forget overseas, we used to use the old Colligan jug. And we used to fill that thing up, and we'd put some money in there for the children offering. And I'll never forget, we had two little boys, the Graham children, old Jimmy and Jacob. Old James was a James and Kim Graham. And I'll never forget, old James was going to the 82nd Airborne. They started coming, and his two little boys, Jimmy and Jacob, they got saved at our church, and it was kind of neat. They started learning Bible stories, and well, old Jimmy thought when we sing Victory in Jesus, when it said he plunged me to victory, they thought it said he punched me to victory. Amen. So Jimmy would knock Jacob in the arm all the time. One time I got a call about 2 o'clock in the morning. He's like, Pastor, you got to help me settle the boys down. He's like, they're taking the stories literal in the Bible. I said, well, they're literal stories. He said, but Pastor, we got to tell them that they don't have to act them out as much. So Jacob knocked Jimmy off the bunk bed, and he said, I killed Goliath. I got him. And I'm at the hospital, and we're trying to tell them, boys, you got to be careful. Jimmy's got a couple stitches in his head now. And so it was kind of unique. Well, one day the boys were outside playing out in the playground, and they're telling these two other boys, hey, you got to come to our church. We have the jug. Wow. You go around a military post and you tell them people you have the jug. And I'll tell you, somebody from West Virginia, you tell them have the jug. You never know what might happen. Well, this guy came over to James's house. He said, hey, what's up with this church? What kind of church where they have a jug? He said, oh, let me explain to you. This is where we have a missionary offering, and our church sends that to missionaries as a special offering every year. And so the guy says, hey, I want to come see this jug. So sure enough, this guy comes, him and his dear wife and two little children, and they come to the morning service. It was a wonderful time. God was moving, and during the offering, we brought out the jug, and I watched this man go through the auditorium and start handing kids money to put in that jug. Most of all, the kids went back into the junior church area, and I'll never forget, during the invitation, that sweet young couple walked the aisle and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I'll never forget, we gave the junior report, their two little kids got saved. Oh, I'm so thankful that we made some things priority about reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I'd like to say this, not only is it the value of missions, is it priceless in its priority, but I believe that it's profitable. This is what I call the treasure principle. What are you going to take with you when you pass from this life? Not a thing. You can't take it with you, but folks, when we get involved in missions, we can send it ahead. Amen. I don't know a 401k with that kind of yield. That's an exciting thing what God can do. Then the second thing I like to look at you, notice in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I realize the content is that there was no visions during this time. But you know what? When people are lacking the Word of God, there's instability. When there's a vision, there's stability. Amen. Thank God. God gave us His Word because we need stability. Amen. And so, but I want to kind of look at this and say, what kind of vision of missions do we need? We need a clear vision. That's Lord, let me see. Oh, thank God for that couple that's going to Madagascar. Thank God for loving your missionary, going over there, taking them supplies. What a blessing. Pastor and you folks are going on a trip to Israel, and you're going to see the land where Jesus walked. And what a wonderful thing. See, the clear vision says, Lord, let me see. And then the concerned vision, Lord, is not only let me see, but Lord, I'll be willing to go. Who's going to be the next missionary family out of First Baptist Church. You know, Pastor, I was thinking, I think you remember old Jack Nixon that was down there. You know, Brother Nixon's health is going. But you know what? Jack Nixon's a wonderful man. Here this older man said, you know, he said, my days of maybe teaching are up. But he said, you know what I'd like to do? He said, I'd just like to fill in and go help missionaries out. He's gone over to Korea, and the church grew over there. Amen, winning souls. He went over to Italy and ate all the pizza, too. Amen. And he went to Italy, and the church grew there. You know what? He just decided he was going to give his life, and now he's not able to travel as much as he was able to. Now he's still ministering to veterans' homes and things of that nature. So there's not necessarily a limit on who can go and what age, and may we all be willing to say, Lord, I'll be willing to go. I'll be willing to go. I'm so glad that my wife's parents taught her to be willing to go. Then we need that considerate vision. Lord, not only let me see, but let me go. But Lord, let me be a sender. And I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong if God hasn't called you to be a sender. I think it's great. I think the scariest part of the year is when our church does Faith Promise. See, Karen gives everything away. I'm more of the miser, amen? And I'm a pacer when it comes down to for missions time. And, you know, we do commitments and things like that. I pace a little bit, you know, because God's bribing me and I'm kind of a tightwad, amen? And I'm kind of like, hey, honey, what's God's laid on your heart? I'm trying to pry and I'm trying to figure it out on a calculator sometimes. And but you know what? Normally through the end of the week, God tells us how we can be a sender. It's a great joy to be a sender. Oh, listen, you know what? At being a sender, don't ever think that your missionaries are better than who you are, because you know what? You can't do it without them, and they can't do it without you. And you know what? When that missionary sees someone saved, guess who's going to get the same reward? You are. You're going to get the same reward for what you play a part in that missionary's life. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. And then let's go over to Acts chapter number 2, verse 41. I like this portion of scripture. This is where you can see potluck. Amen. Acts chapter number 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were continuing in the steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching and fellowship. They were of one accord. They were praising God. The Lord was adding to the church. They were going house to house, fellowshipping. Hey, there was potluck. I believe potluck is scripture. Amen. Man, I love it. I'll never forget we were in Germany. We had people from the Philippines, people from the Africa, people from Mexico. We didn't have nobody from Korea. Amen. I like kimchi and bulgogi. Amen. And I'll never forget a young couple came and they were coming. And the first thing, I wasn't spiritual. I was thinking about potluck. Amen. And she asked my wife, does your husband like egg rolls? And does she like kimchi? And my wife said, he does. And first thing, I didn't think about them joining the church. First thing I did was schedule a potluck, amen? And sure enough, they did join the church, and I heard I'm going to put potluck on the calendar. And sure enough, we had a feast. But you see here, great things were going on in this early church. People were being saved. Lives were being saved. You say, Brother Pierce, what is that? That's the victory of missions. Souls getting saved. Oh, I thank God over the years that the Lord has allowed us to reach people. I'll never forget our 42nd missionary family that we had with Armed Forces Baptist Missions was a family that we worked with over in Germany. And he was saved, but he was away from God, and his wife and them, they got saved in our church, and their children got saved in our church. He was out in the field, and God was working on his life. I'll never forget, he gave me a call. And he said, Pastor, God's all over my heart about preaching. And God worked in that family's life. A few years later, he got out of the military. And he became our 42nd, one of our, I believe around our 42nd, 43rd missionary family. Oh, I'm so thankful for the souls that have been saved. They're not only souls saved, but saints sanctified. All of sanctification says that when you got saved, God set you apart. And see, because of sanctification, because you're personally set apart, there's no one insignificant in this auditorium for God's work. God wants to use each and every one of you, and he has a plan for each and every one of us because of sanctification. Oh, I heard it said like this: seek them, reap them, and keep them. Or win them, wet them, and pastor, let's work them. Amen? Let's get them involved in God's work actively. You know, thank God that God sets people apart. Then the scripture sought out. New Testament churches started around the globe. Oh, I'm so thankful for how God uses people over the years. And, you know, when we went to the field, we said, Lord, we want to make a difference in people's lives. And I'll never forget the last work. You ever wonder sometimes you're in the ministry, you have one work that may seem a little more fruitful and maybe one that was not as fruitful. You can never compare because both had fruit. Amen. And I'll never forget there was a family that came and they started coming, and how they got a flyer in their box, and they started coming to our service, and of course the boys got saved, the dad was saved, but on Mother's Day we had the privilege of baptizing that family of four. Well, you know, Scott was kind of quiet and you know, just very well mannered, and I noticed he could throw a football better than the average person. He played some sports in college, later on went in the military, and he began to ask me, he said, Pastor, you got some service. He said, so what did you, I said, I was a tanker, and so I knew he wanted to strike up a conversation that day, and I said, Scott, what do you do? And he said, Pastor, I don't know what I do sometimes. And he began to tell me about some deployments. He began to tell me about how much C4 that he stuck on a door in Iraq, and it blew down, crushed his leg, And so I said, and he said, well, Pastor, he said, it's kind of like this. I kind of do everything, but I'm not sure what I do. Here, found out he was in the special forces in the 110th over there. And, of course, you and I both know what the special forces do. And normally when Scott was on a mission, he was on a mission, amen. And I'll never forget they were deployed in Afghanistan, and he went over there. And I'll never forget one night we got a call, and they said to get over and be an encouragement to Debbie, and we sure did. Karen spent the night. Here Scott was in had a piece of rocket go off and hit his Kevlar and shear it, but he was all right, and my family was there. And I'll never forget, Scott asked me to come pray before they left out. He said, Pastor, he said, would you come pray? He said, you pray different than the chaplain. I said, well, Pastor, you think they'll have a problem with me come pray? And he said, don't worry, Pastor. He said, we're the special forces. We do things a little different. It's all right, Pastor. So we prayed with his team before he deployed. Sure enough, a couple more weeks later, they were in another firefight. And one of the guys, he yelled, Scott, is your pastor praying? He said, I believe he is, guys. We're going to be all right. Is it a guarantee? But he said, I believe churches all across America are praying. I'll never forget before Scott left our church over there and that last work that we had. And Scott said, you know, he said, we've not been the biggest church. He said, but one thing I can tell you, my boys learned to pray in this church. My boys learned to see God answer prayer. He said, my own life, my family and I have seen answered prayer. He said, we weren't in church when we got here. He said, but as a result of Pastor, your family and others encouraging us, we have found a church to serve in. He said, I'm ever so thankful. And he said, Pastor, he said, would you do me a favor when you go back to the States? He said, would you tell every church that you go to thank them for praying for us? He said, my unit and I felt the presence of people praying. And he goes, I couldn't guarantee all of our men that we were coming back. He said, unfortunately, Pastor, not in my unit, but he said, in other parts of our battalion, we've lost some men. He said, but I'm telling you, he said, my men saw the care and the concern and the packages that you sent out. And he said, Pastor, would you tell them, thank you for praying for us? He said, it made a world of difference. I said, I'd be love to do that. And you know what, I think about it over the years when we went over there, we said, Lord, we just want to make a difference. But I'll be honest with you, the people we worked with all these years have made a difference in our life. They changed us. And I just want to tell you, because of what you do for military missions, in your prayer, you're making a difference. Let us pray with heads.